This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Lisa Mullins. Two of the country's leading doctors packed an auditorium at Brigham and Women's Hospital recently to talk about politics, pain, and the opioid epidemic. WBUR's Martha Biebinger reports.
When Brigham surgeon and best-selling author Atul Gawande turns his attention to a health care issue, people take notice. But at this event, for Brigham staff only, another doctor was the guest of honor.
Please welcome Vivek, our 19th Surgeon General, home.
Dr. Vivek Murthy left the Brigham to become the nation's top doctor, a position Murthy held for 2.5 years before he was dismissed by President Trump.
Little did I know then that I would be one in a long line of such doctors. We joke sometimes that we should have a club.
Before he was fired last April, Murthy made the opioid epidemic a top priority, issuing a 400-page report on addiction and launching a campaign to end the opioid crisis. Back at the Brigham, Gawande and other physicians were reading the research that shows just a week-long opioid prescription after surgery means up to 10% of patients will still be taking opioids a year later.
That is how addictive it is. And I had no idea, and I was fueling part of this crisis. We all were along the way.
Much of the conversation between these two medical leaders is about what to do now. On prevention, Murthy spelled out clear guidelines. Avoid opioids when possible. There are clear alternative pain meds that are just as good, maybe better. If doctors do use opioids for acute pain following an accident or surgery for someone who's not used to taking them, doctors should limit an opioid prescription to 3 days. Any more and
there's a much greater chance you'll continue to be on it at a year. So shorter prescriptions are better.
For chronic pain, Murthy is blunt. Opioids don't work. Do not use them. Murthy has faced a lot of criticism from pain patients on this point. Patients with back pain, for example, who say doctors are refusing to help out of fear of prescribing opioids. Murthy says he's worried, too, and urges colleagues to taper patients slowly.
If somebody is on a massive dose of opioids and has been for 5 years, and you cut them off immediately, you're actually putting them at substantial risk.
To move off opioids, Murthy says some chronic pain patients may need help from the same drugs used to treat those addicted to heroin. Gawande says he's just recently learned how well meds like methadone and buprenorphine work.
They produce an 80% plus decrease in drug overdose deaths, period. Like, imagine it's 1995, with the peak of the HIV/AIDS epidemic. We've got a cure that works in 80%+ of people, and we're debating whether we want to give it to people.
But as Murthy points out, many people do not use these drugs because they are ashamed of going to isolated clinics, sometimes the only place this treatment is offered. Murthy says it isn't just doctors who must change the way they practice. Drug companies, he says, should be funding treatment and face tougher penalties as well.
Many of the fines that we levy on pharmaceutical companies, we think that they're big, but they are a small fraction of even their marketing budgets. And so for many of them, these fines are just the cost of doing business.
These days, hospitals are full of patients with injuries and infections that are the result of the opioid crisis. Gawande mentions a unit at the Brigham.
Right now, up in Shapiro, we have more patients who are here for cardiac valve surgery, for endocarditis related to drug use, than we have people here who are here for CABGs.
That's heart surgery to bypass a narrow or blocked artery.
That is how bad it is in our own community.
The long-term solution, most people agree, is prevention. But there are mixed messages these days to young people. Some politicians are reviving the Just Say No to Drugs campaign. Murthy says the programs with the best record of success use a completely different approach.
They are not beating kids over the head and telling them drugs are bad. In some cases, they're actually not talking about drugs at all. What they're actually doing is equipping students with tools to actually identify, regulate, and manage their own emotions.
It's a critical piece of prevention, says Murthy, because emotional pain drives many first-time and continuing opioid users. Gawande closed the conversation with a short question for Murthy.
What's next?
Murthy says he isn't sure. He's doing some writing and thinking about starting an institute.
I want us to build a world that is less governed by fear and that is more driven by the opposite of fear, which is love.
It's guidance some in the Massachusetts drug community say would help save lives in the midst of the worst drug crisis in U.S. history. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.